Glory and praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ. Glory and praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ. The seed is the word of God, Christ is the sower. All who come to him will live forever. Glory and praise to you, O Lord Jesus Christ.
The Lord be with you.
And
with your. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Jesus said to the Pharisees, I am going away, and you will look for me, but you will die in your sin. Where I am going, you cannot come. So the Jews said, he is not going to kill himself, is he? Because he has said, where I am going, you cannot come. He said to them, you belong to what is below. I belong to what is above. You belong to this world, but I do not belong to this world. That is why I told you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am, then you will die in your sins. So they said to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, what I told you from the beginning. I have much to say about you in condemnation, but the one who sent me is true, and what I heard from him I will tell the world. They did not realize that he was speaking to them of the Father. So Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, you will realize that I am, and that I do nothing on my own, but I say only what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, because I always do what is pleasing to him. Because he spoke in this way, many came to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. The Gospels, especially for these last days of Great Lent, are taken from the longer discourses in St. John's Gospel, and they're often confusing even with context. So without, which is the way this is all set up, it becomes almost impossible to sort of sort out. I just find it kind of amusing that at the end of the pericope, as it's given here, St. John says, because he spoke in this way, many came to believe in him. If I heard somebody speak this way, I'd probably scratch my head and shrug, but whatever. What's important here is that Jesus is engaged in a question about identity. And that is very important. Because the Jews ask him what is, on the face of it, a very stupid question. Who are you? Well, they know who he is. That's the whole problem. And because they know who he is, they can't believe what he's telling them about himself. Every time he uses that grammatical form here, I am, ego eimi, he's making a claim to divinity. And he's doing so in a way that startles them. They're not quite sure he's saying what they think he's saying, because that seems so obviously crazy nobody would say it. But they know that he's saying something more than they're comfortable with. And I'll admit this is a little bit of projection, but I think I'm on pretty solid ground here. They have to be able to read it in his face. When I'm trying to convince you of something and I can tell you're not quite getting it, the 12-year-old boy in me wants to go, right? Well, Jesus had an inner 12-year-old, maybe not as sinful as mine, but he had to delight in the fact that, like, no matter how he said this, it wasn't clicking in the way that it was meant to. This is, I think, really important for us, because the whole process of Lent and Holy Week, like what it is we're trying to do here, is importantly different than happens the rest of the year long. In its history, the church has been very careful. The last 50 years being somewhat of an aberration, but the church has been very careful to curb too much emotionalism, especially in the context of the liturgy. So the reason chants developed in the way that it did, our Gregorian chant deriving ultimately from Jewish chant, was to avoid people kind of losing their minds when we're praying. So the way that like charismatic prayer often works in Protestant circles today, this was known in the early church, and the fathers said, no, not like that, at least not when we're all together. And the reasons are multifold, right? It's not that this way of praying is always and everywhere wrong, but we have to watch it when we're together, because our prayer can have an impact on other people. And if you've ever been in the midst of something like that when you weren't expecting it, it's not very fun. And it certainly doesn't cause other people to like raise their heart and mind to God. It just causes them to wonder what that strange person over there is doing. The more important reason, though, is because the way God acts in the context of the liturgical assembly, the way God acts when we come for sacrament, is different. It's the reason the homily is not intended to be the high point of our worship. I'm deliberately subdued. That's on purpose. Some guys don't get the message, but they should, right? I don't want the best experience you have when you come to Mass to have anything to do with words that I have created and are going from my brain through my mouth to your ears. I want the most important thing that happens to you at Mass to be right there or right here. His words matter far more than mine ever can. His words can save you. The best my words can do is get you ready for his words. Now, his claim to divinity, his I am, begins to take a kind of shape. Now this isn't simply about Jesus saying, well, it turns out I'm the great exception to everybody else who's ever lived. I'm totally different than the rest of y'all. Acknowledge it or go to hell. No, it's quite the opposite. It's because of who he is, we come to know ourselves. We're different in light of him. Our identity, what we were always meant to be, becomes more clear. And the things that we tend to struggle with that make life so difficult, especially preeminently our own suffering, those now have meaning and purpose and divine value because of who he is. This is the reason he can say to the Pharisees, where I am going, you cannot follow. It's not because he's going to kill himself. It's not even precisely or only because he's going to die. Where he is going, we certainly will follow, whether we want to or not. And any one of those Pharisees there that day who ultimately came to faith in him had to do the same. But we cannot follow. We are incompetent to follow, incapable of following, if we will not recognize who he is. Now, St. John says, right, that the infallible sign of the Spirit is being able to call Jesus Lord, him having come in the flesh, recognizing his divinity. That's the sign of divine faith. If we cannot see in Christ Jesus, God made visible, if we cannot look on the face of him whom we have pierced and see God in the flesh, then none of the rest of it is going to matter. The best we're going to be is sort of politely religious people. But if we can recognize in him God made flesh, if we can see in sacrament God made visible again, if we can take him into our bodies and into our souls, then every single thing we do forever has the same weight and consequence of his action, because it's a share in his own cross and ultimately a promise to share in his resurrection.